Nail or beauty school was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media, and at the very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, Penny here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I'm joined again by Bailey.
Hello.
And we have Jade.
Hi.
And Catherine's with us too.
Hi.
And we're going to, your guys' voices are so similar. If I was listening to this, I'd be like, that's the same person over and over again. It's the customer service
thing. Like when I talk, my voice isn't as high pitched as that. But when I like I wouldn't, I don't know, I, for whatever reason, don't just say hello in this voice. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Well, apparently you all do. So the four of us are going to go over some of the content and some of our policies around client lateness. Should be a juicy one.
And just a reminder before we get started to use my code Beauty by Jade for 10% off all courses. I get a kickback from these enrollments and they're how we support the production of the podcast.
And Bailey, I know you have a code too. It's very hard to remember. Please remind us what it is.
Super difficult. My code is Bailey.
Catherine, you don't yet have an affiliate code, right?
I think I do.
You
just
do?
Done anything with it
do you
yet.
Know what the code is?
I love that my code is just Bailey. It's hilarious. Works like it's kind me. Of a gag now.
I'm pretty sure mine's something equally as easy. I just can't remember off the top of my head if it's my name or not. Found it. It's Catherine, spelled K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
Perfect. Alrighty. So before we get stuck into today's new topic, let's revisit last week's lesson, which Bailey, what were we talking about?
So last week on episode 6, we were talking about supplying drinks to your clients. I kind of loved this episode because it sort of like snowballed in the end about we were really largely talking about one-ups. And I think my biggest takeaway from that as a whole was you don't need to just constantly be one-upping yourself day after day. You just want to be drip-feeding them fortnightly so that you're making constant small improvements as opposed to feeling like you have to go big and bold and huge all at once. Do you guys, Jade and Catherine, do you serve drinks to your clients in your salons?
I do, yeah.
What kind of options do you have?
So I've got, well, we have, because I'm based in a hair salon, we have a big range of herbal teas, and we stock 2 or 3 flavours at a time of just the Nescafe coffee sachets.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jade?
I don't currently, but it's something I'm wanting to do at one up in the next 4 months. I've got like constant little one-ups planned. That's like something that's on my list.
And amazing.
So a cheap way to also bump my prices up just a little bit, just to be like, hey, this is now included with your service. There'll be a small price increase as well to compensate, kind of thing.
I love that you have months of one-ups planned.
Yeah, a
teacher's pet.
I try.
Alrighty, so moving into the week's topic, late clients. Like, I have so many stories, but like late arrivals can just be really tricky to deal with because clients are right in front of you and have a certain expectation about the appointment they booked. So like I always call a client, I'll usually text about 5 minutes after an appointment was supposed to start and just check if they're on their way. If they say yes, I will immediately set the expectation that the time is limited. And after 10 minutes, if I didn't hear back to the text, I'll call. But my policy is about percent of time. So like 20% of the appointment is then no show. Too bad. I can't help you. If I don't get to talk to them, but they just turn up late, if I have enough time to do the service, I will set the expectation, but then get them straight into the chair and start their service. That's my highest priority. Like, I'll be polite, but very no nonsense. Like, if someone's like, I feel like the clients that turn up late are also the ones that tattoo the most when they arrive. Like, I'm like, gloves are on, files are out, like, get in the seat. And they're like, where should I put my coat? I don't care. Sit down.
Or they want to take 45 minutes choosing their color.
Yeah, oh. You want to look at colors? We can do that in a second, but I have 45 minutes with you now, so I need to get your soak off started.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they do arrive and I haven't spoken to them already and they do sit straight down, I will make sure, like, the first thing I say after greeting them is, like, just so you know, I do only have you booked until 7 o'clock today, so we're going to need to keep them quite simple today. Just, like, making sure that I set a reasonable expectation and setting it as soon as possible. Because if someone wasn't reasonable enough to, obviously there's extenuating circumstances, but if someone wasn't reasonable enough to respect my time, chances are they're also not going to really be reasonable about me limiting theirs.
Yeah, and respecting your next client's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, I've had clients that have had the audacity to think that it's fine to just delay the next person by 10, 15 minutes as if they don't have a life to go on with, and me as well. Like, I've still got a family to get home to at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, no, my next client wasn't late. You were. So they don't actually get penalized for you being late.
Right. And then trying to say it as politely as possible, because at the end of the day, they're a client. But, like, there's such a line between being kind and also setting boundaries.
Yeah, you can be kind, but you need to make sure you're not being a doormat for people who are disrespecting you by disrespecting your time.
Yeah, that's, like, something I learned, like, quite early on, that, like, the more that you allow, the more that people will, like, push it that little bit further to try and, you know, take more out of you, whether that be time or, you know.
100%.
So I had to learn really quickly to, like, not be scared to put my foot down and be like, this is not something that I'm going to allow.
Yeah, like what you were saying, Catherine, about people thinking you can just delay the next person. Like, I had a client, I don't know, like a year ago now, but, like, it was a lady who had been to me quite a few times, and but not a regular. Her mum was in town for the daughter's wedding, and had booked in. And the mum turned up to her appointment 30 minutes into a 40-minute appointment. And I had been calling and texting. I didn't have the mum's contact details at all. The daughter had booked her. So I had called and texted the daughter multiple times. She had replied and been like, oh, sorry, I'll let her know. But let's be honest, that particular client was, like, not one of the easiest to communicate at the best of times. So the mum walks in, she's standing in the doorway. She's like, hey, I'm here for nails. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry, I don't have time to do your appointment now. Your appointment was at whatever, like 10 o'clock. I've only got 10 minutes now until the next person. And she goes, but it's for a wedding. I was like, yeah, I understand that. I can't let my next client be late though, because she's booked at 10 o'clock, whatever time. Booked at 10:40. She was like, well, can't you just do her later? I was like, no. Like, she's booked for a time. Like, you're the third client of a 12-client day. Like, I have to keep going or else everybody ends up late. And she's standing in my doorway, which my desk is a meter from the doorway. She's, like, right in my space. And she's going, like, well, I've never had this from a salon in Auckland. And I was like, okay, well, this is based on bookings. Like, I can't let other people be late. And she goes, not even for a wedding. I can't believe it. I've never had to deal with this before. And then stormed off. And then I was like, okay.
So was she, like, going to, like, walk-in chop shop salons in Auckland? Or?
Must be, right? And then I messaged her daughter afterwards and was like, hey, just letting you know, like, I didn't have time to do your mum's nails because she did turn up at 9:30 and my next client was at, like, whatever, like, the times. And she was like, well, can you fit her in now? And I was like, not without her paying for the missed appointment, as I lost money by not having a client in that space. And then she just never texts back, ever.
I'd rather lose that client if they're not going to respect my time than make that effort to be, like, constantly trying to keep a client happy who's disrespecting me in my time. Like, I'd just rather them not be in my seat. They're not worth the added stress for the money that of that time slot they're occupying.
Yeah.
Because they'll cost you in the long run from all of their like lateness or no shows and just constantly expecting you to fit them in because they're the most important person in their world. So they should be the most important person in your world.
And because they have what we would consider unreasonable expectations, I am never going to meet her expectations, so she will always be disappointed in my service, mm-hmm. and she will always give bad word of mouth. Even though she will then probably come back because no one meets her expectations, and I probably meet them better than other people, or she wouldn't be coming back, but she will never rave about my service. She'll always be like, oh, she didn't even do mum's nails for my wedding.
I had something super, super similar happen about a year ago, and it was a really hard one to deal with because they had booked through GrabOne when I used to have deals on advertised on GrabOne, and a lady couldn't make it to her appointment and so said that she was sending her sister in her place, which is fine. This wasn't for nails. This was for massage. And the sister ended up being 20 minutes late, turned up finally, still wanted the massage. And then because I hadn't gotten a consult form from her, I then was like, well, look, I can't actually touch you until you've filled this out. And she got so upset that she was late and now I was wasting more of her time.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm so strict on lateness. Like, I will not run over a booked appointment time and affect the appointment of the next person. Like, when the clock strikes the start of the next appointment, my priority is now that next client. Like, too yeah. bad. Like, now that client, the new one, is the one with an expectation. I'm not going to start on the back foot by disappointing them for no good reason. Yeah. Like, I'll be polite, but the late client has all these big ideas, I'm like, that's not possible to achieve in this time. Like, we don't have time for exactly what's in your picture, but we can either book an extra half hour next time and do it then, or we can interpret it as feature nails and fit it in today. Like, I'll try and give them choices, because at the end of the day, even though we are speaking harshly because we're in a safe place and we're not speaking directly to clients, and obviously we still want even the worst clients to have a good story to tell about us, even if we're not actively encouraging them to rebook. But I think just giving them options so that even though we're essentially saying, no, I can't do that, even like sometimes it has to be, no, I can't shorten your nails because you're asking for quite a drastic shorten and I don't have time to do that. Like, you still want to have exceeded their expectations. And while that might be impossible in the case of some of these examples so far, like, you got to try. So I'll give them choices. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I can't do that, but here's what I can do.
Mm-hmm. And even then they might leave a little bit disappointed, but having one person leaving a bit disappointed is better than having all of your clients disappointed that day because you've then run late for all of the clients following.
Yeah, and it affects all your income, like, forevermore.
You think about how frustrated you are when you go to the doctor's office and they're, like, notorious for running behind, right? You've got, like, a 10:30 appointment. You're probably getting in at maybe 10:40, 10:45 to see your doctor. And I feel like that's just, like, the constant. I go there and I know, like, ugh, they're going to be running late again. And it's so frustrating. And you just sit there kind of, like, stewing about it. And so you, knowing that feeling, don't want to then pass it on to half a day's or three quarters of a day's worth of clients of yours and have them have that bad taste in their mouth of you that you've had, you know, that experience of elsewhere.
So it was like probably my first worst scenario. Like, this client genuinely takes the crown for like the worst client ever. She messaged me like 5 minutes before her appointment and was like, hey, I'm on my way. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird because I don't live in the city. So I was like, maybe she just like lives, you know, the street over or something. And anyway, it slowly started getting like 5 past, quarter past. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, where is this girl? And I was like messaging her. I was like, how far away are you? Like, la, 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 la. And she was like my last night for the night. So I was kind of just like, ugh, whatever, like, it's fine. Even though it wasn't, I was like, it's fine. I'm not eating to anyone else's time. She rocked up 25 minutes late, didn't even apologize. Like, I opened the door, I was like, hi, like, you're late. And she was like, Yeah, I know. No, sorry. No, nothing. Set her down. And I was like, we've got to hustle through this. She was like to me, oh, I've been gone at 9. So I had to get this set of like extensions with full blown art done in a very short amount of time. Everything I did, she complained. I did 3 coats of black. She held up the light. She was like, I can see through it. And I was like, no, you can't. Like, it's 3 layers of black. You know what I mean? And then I did nail art and stuff. And she was happy with it. She then proceeded to point at the nail art that was wet and smudged what I'd painted. And she was complaining that I didn't have the right diamante colors and this, this, this. And would sigh, and oh, it was just the most unenjoyable experience ever. And I felt rushed to get her done by her time she started work because she was then late. And it was honestly the most flustering experience I ever had. And now looking back, if someone was that late and I was, you know, finishing, I'd be like, look, we're just gonna do like a color set. I can't fit all the stuff in, because the feeling it gave me doing it, I just felt rushed the whole entire time. It was so awful. And she was also a very awful person to me. And going on the subject of like bad word of mouth, that's what was going through my head. I was like, I need to please this girl, because I don't want her, you know, running around Dunedin, you know, saying all these bad things about me, because Dunedin's quite a small place. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to it wasn't me or my fault, it was actually her fault, and she'd just be the person to go and say that kind of thing, because she's not my ideal client. Like, it was just an awful experience.
Anyone who's friends with her and would listen to her stuff is a person probably similar enough to her that you don't want them either.
Exactly. But I was like, no, I can't have bad word of mouth, like I've got to please this girl. But now looking back, I'm like, no way. I probably would have even charged her extra for being late, because we finished up at like, I was meant to finish at 7:30, finished at 9:15. Like,
oh my God.
I could smell my dinner being cooked, like, because I work from home. I could smell my dinner being cooked. It had been sitting out for like an hour. I was starving. Yeah. And I was like, I just want her out of my house, like, right now. Like, it was awful. So bad.
And you know that that client was bad, because Jade's a person that literally said she feels bad interrupting. And then when she talks about this one client, she gets so fired up.
I get so fired up about it. Like, yeah, it was just so unenjoyable. And I'm actually so glad she never rebooked. Like, oh my gosh, if she had rebooked, I don't know what I would have done. But she never messaged again, and I've actually never, like, been so thankful. Like, I'd rather lose that client then get her back and her like push my buttons again and just like walk all over me, you know? Like, yeah.
Isn't it so funny when you're a brand new nail tech? Like, I remember the first time that anyone ever called to cancel an appointment. They had rebooked and then they called to cancel it. And I have a core memory of that phone call. I know where I was sitting when I answered the phone, and I felt sick. I was like, I messed this all up. She hated me. I need to rethink everything. Like, it was such a big deal to have had someone cancel. And then you fast forward even just one, like even 6 months of full time. Like, I think it's like equivalent to a couple of years part time, but like as soon as you are rolling as a nail tech or any beauty service, it probably relates to so many other things. But like now I'm like, oh, you want to cancel it? Okay. Like, there's, yeah. I don't think about it. I don't care. Yeah, okay. Someone else will take it. And it's not arrogance. It's, like, sometimes I have a quiet day. Sometimes I have a busy day. Sometimes I have a, what do you call it, Bailey? Adult money with a child. Sometimes I'm a child with adult money. Sometimes I'm a child with adult money. And sometimes I'm an adult with child money. But at the end of the day, I'm still, that's fine, you can cancel. It's that, it's not personal. I just think it's so funny the way that like our brains change, and now we're so ruthless.
Yeah,
100%. I think like having these like bad experiences with various clients help a lot with some of our personal growth as well, and being like giving us that ability to say like what is and isn't acceptable, like what is attempting to cross boundaries that we've put in place, and being in a position where, I mean, financially, you might want that person in your chair because it's filling a slot that you do currently have open, but just like, actually, I respect myself too much to put my brain through that. Like you said before, Jade, like just how that entire experience, you were just like feeling so uncomfortable and rushed, and like that you were grateful she didn't rebook, and just like how we shouldn't have to do that to ourselves to be like that uncomfortable.
Yeah, the feeling I got afterwards, like honestly, because it was like in my eyes the coolest set I'd ever done, but the constant degrading of like, this isn't symmetrical, this doesn't look exactly like the picture, like this. When I looked at the pictures afterwards, I kind of looked at it and I was like, this actually looks like shit. And then I sent it to everyone, told like, you know, all my friends about it. I was like, guys, this was the worst experience ever. And they were like, Jade, like, these are the sickest set of nails we've ever seen. Like, don't let her bring you down because she was such a negative person when you've genuinely like done such a great job. But yeah, the feeling afterwards, I was like, it's not worth having someone in your chair like that who's paying for service and is tearing you down on your work when they probably put a paintbrush and not even be able to do what I did. Like, you know?
100%. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it's just, like, remembering that, right? And next time a situation like that happens, that you've got that thought in your brain, not, like, the, oh, I have to keep this person happy because I'm worried about bad word of mouth. It's, like, thinking about that and, like, if it's bad word of mouth to people who are like her, like Penny said, then that's fine. Don't really want them in your chair anyway.
That's
you want to be able to put your best. You want to be able to put like your best foot forward, like for all of your clients. And like if you're feeling that flustered and horrible after a client, and you've then got say 10 more clients booked that day after them, like you can't possibly do your best work in that mindset.
No. Oh my gosh, I was so thankful she was like my last person, so I could like vent my partner. Like, oh my gosh, this sucked. But also I think like the reason I was worried about like such bad word of mouth was it was literally, I think, like the first couple of weeks I'd opened up my business, and because it was like so new and fresh, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I need as much good word of mouth as I can get, because if I'm starting out and I have bad word of mouth, like if I don't get clients. But yeah, now that I look back, it is like, well, whoever she's bad mouthing to, they're not the people I'd want anyway. Like if that were to happen to me now, it actually wouldn't even bother me that much. I'd be like, oh, good riddance. Like, please never book in again. And I probably set those boundaries at the start of the appointment. But I think because I was new and obviously, like, hadn't learned as much, hadn't grown as much, it kind of affected me a lot more than it probably should have.
Imagine, like, the awful life she's had where she feels so out of control that she needs to control this symmetrical nature of her nail art. Like, what a how stressful must her life be?
Exactly.
I think remembering that makes it easier once you've been through this a few times, because it's super raw when you go through this as like a beauty therapist or a nail tech. When it first starts happening, like, it's raw and like you'll rack your brain about it for ages. But I think once you learn to like remember that, it definitely helps that, like, you know, this isn't a personal thing and says more about them than it does about you.
So before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about our salon success business, marketing and social media. So this is the full salon success, includes all of our smaller modules within it, all in one big go. So you can access this course at monaco.ac.nz/course/marketing. And this is broken down into lots of little modules, which these podcasts are highlighting small excerpts from. And this will give you a lot more detail, really dive more in depth with it, and give you some really, really helpful knowledge around setting up your business and marketing yourself. So if you are interested in that, you can also use my code Bailey to get 10% off. I do get a kickback from that, and that helps us to continue on with the podcast. And Jade, you also have an affiliate code?
Yes, it's Beauty by Jade.
And Catherine?
Mine's Catherine, spelled Kathryn.
And awesome.
Do you guys have official lateness policies?
I do kind of. So when I first moved to my business to the salon I'm at now, I didn't have anything in place, and it wasn't until I was talking to the salon owner that I decided I needed a policy, because she could see how frustrated I was with, you know, lateness or no shows and things like that. So I actually started taking 50% booking fees.
Nice. Do you still do that?
I still do that. Yeah, I've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And that has helped so much with, you still get lateness, you know, life happens, you know, bad clients happen. So you still get lateness. You still occasionally get a no-show, but it's definitely like lessened the amount that it happens, and people definitely take their appointments and you much more seriously if they've already paid for 50% of the appointment and they know that they're not going to get that back if they don't show up or if they're late.
Well, and it's not a problem for anyone who's actually going to show up, right? If you're going to show up and
right,
get the service,
exactly,
what's
right,
the problem
yeah.
with putting down a deposit? It's just going to come off your appointment cost.
I've heard a lot of people, like, they love paying a deposit because to them on the day it feels cheaper because they've already paid part
right.
of it. Like, when they make the, they're like, oh,
yeah.
girl, man, like, I actually didn't even spend that much money. Like, it's fine because I paid for
yeah.
that, like, weeks.
Half the price.
Like, yeah, they're like, woo, discount. You paid
it's
for
quite.
It.
It's quite good because actually I've actually found a because I offer afterpay and lay-by as well for some of my services. I've actually found that people were using like those buy now, pay later portals. I found that they're actually being used less because people were paying for their appointment in two chunks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like if they book now, if they book an appointment for next week now, then they're paying part of it now from this pay and then the rest out of their next week's pay kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually makes it more manageable for them.
That's such a good point. I think like when I had an official lateness policy, I don't know if I would say I do now. I kind of do. But like all I did was amend my cancellation policy. Like I didn't really have a specific separate one just because I wanted to keep it simple. So my full policy was like I wrote it down so that I could read it out, but like please be aware that changes are unable to be made to bookings within 48 hours of the scheduled appointment. Changes include but are not exclusive to postponement, cancellations, no shows, and lateness that equals 10% of the appointment time or longer. Any late notice change to an appointment will incur a $25 fee payable prior to rebooking. And then the only change now, like that's what I had on my website when I was in Auckland. And then I redid my website and changed a couple of things. The only real difference is that like mine specifies that 20% late is now a no-show. A cancellation is 50% fee, a no-show is 100% fee. So like it's changed slightly, but the gist is still, I think like, because not that it's lateness, it's cancellations, but it kind of ties in, but like, because people say, but I'm not canceling, I'm just moving it. Like, no, but you're not coming in an hour, you're coming tomorrow. So you're using up an appointment I could have filled. It is a cancellation.
And I can't fill that in 1 hour.
Exactly. So I just kind of merged them all together and was just like, changes in 48 hours incur a fee, and that includes being late or whatever, like that affects the thing. So I just set that precedent. But then I'm in a small town and I get a lot of people, students, talking about the differences between cities and small towns, and there are a couple of clients that honestly get away with blue murder, because like two or three clients I can think of off the top of my head that are constantly late, but I don't feel like I can do anything about it because they're like queen bees or like key players in our community. And if I piss off one, they will tell everyone. And it's not necessarily, they're lovely people. Like they just are busy or flighty, or like it's not their priority to like other people's time is not what they're thinking about, and that doesn't mean socially they're bad people, but as a client they're bad clients. But if I were to charge them a cancellation fee every single time that they were late, they would have paid me more money in cancellation fees than in appointments, and they would have gone elsewhere, and they would have told people why they don't come to me. And there are only 1,500 people in this town. That means only 750 of them are probably women, and some of them are children or like elderly in the rest home kind of thing. Like, it's a very small pool of which to spread information. So sometimes, even though I'm an absolute hard ass when it comes to respecting the time of the next client, there are a couple of small instances where I know listeners are going to be like, but I have this exception. And I'm like, yeah, I will say I have a couple of exceptions where I let a couple of people get away with murder, but never when it impacts someone else. It would be.
Do you kind of book those people a little bit extra time? Like, do you leave a little more time after them just in case, like, you kind of know they'll be late? So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. One in particular is way more likely to no-show than to be late. So still impacts me, but less likely to impact other people. And with her, when she's at the end of the appointment, if she's like, oh, I should make a booking, I'll be like, oh, yeah, just text me on the morning and I'll fit you in. Like, I try so hard not to rebook her because I know that if she books last minute, on the day, she's less likely to forget about it. Although she has booked appointments with 2 hours notice and then still not turned up. But in that case, she then immediately transferred me the money for it. But so I will actively discourage her in a very polite way from rebooking. Mm-hmm. I want her back, but I just don't want to
just book on the day because you're less likely to forget.
Yeah. And then the other couple, there's just two others that are like chronically late. One of them, honestly, I probably should book more time, but here's the thing. She does a lot of things that annoy me. I want her to get, I go out of my way to make sure she has the best experience I can give her, but she's very aware of her lateness. So I don't make exceptions for her because if it gets too much for her, I would not be mad if she stopped coming. So she gets here, she's late. If she ever asks for anything I can't do, I just say, because you're a bit late today, I won't have time for that, but this is what I can do. And honestly, I kind of just hope one day she stops getting her nails done. I think, there's no one really that fits the mold where I would book extra time. I've got two clients that I add an extra 10 minutes to manually because I know that for whatever reason, their nails are going to take me longer to do. Mm-hmm. I can't even, like, one of the ladies, she just wears them really long, a lot longer than most of my clients. So my times are based on the averages that I would spend. And a lot of people here are like gardening, boating, like I have a lot of short nail clients and she wears hers really long. So I book an extra 10 minutes. And the other one is she's got very interesting shaped natural nails. So it takes me a bit longer to recustomize the structure. So I add 10 minutes to hers. But that's off the topic of lateness. But like, yeah, those are the small customizations I make for clients while still being a hard ass on not letting people's BS affect other clients. Let it affect me and I will make that decision based on the overall goals of my business, but don't affect someone else.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have like set policies, and that's because, like, obviously you're aware, but like not everyone would be, that I don't do nails full time. So I have in my outside of nails job is I sieve rocks. That's the easiest way to explain it.
Bailey is a fancy scientist.
I just sieve rocks. I don't do anything too fancy. So because I don't do nails full time, obviously I'm a little bit more relaxed with some policies because it's not something I rely on for my primary income. Now that doesn't mean I like don't respect my own time, because I 100% do, but it just means that, like, I have a little bit more flexibility with people if the on the day it allows for me. I don't have a full day of clients booked back to back. If I'm doing more than one person on a day, like, that may have an impact on it. But if I'm sort of fitting someone in to me dicking around doing other stuff at home during the day, and they're like, hey, I'm just running 15 minutes later, or do you mind if we push this half an hour ahead of time? I'm like, okay, cool, I can plan for that. I'm just hanging around home doing things anyway. I'll carry on with that, fit them in back to my doing stuff around home. So for me, it's a bit of a different situation than someone who's doing nails full-time or even part-time, where you're scheduling clients in on that same day consistently. But when I did do, when I was still in uni, I did clients a little bit more frequently and more people booked in on the same day. And my biggest thing around cancellation as well, but also lateness, was very similar to you, Penny, in that I have you scheduled to be here until a certain time. If you show up late, that only impacts your appointment time. So maybe now you're getting BIAB instead of getting acrylics, or if it's that, you know, significant of a lateness. And I would generally offer someone something if I could fit it in, but I wouldn't be like, yeah, cool, you can have all of these extras, and having it go into like other plans I already had that day was, yeah, you're now losing out on things. You don't get to have this art, or you don't get to have this length. I can't do a drastic shape change, anything like that, because you have eaten into the time that I had scheduled for you. I haven't done that. Like, you've eaten into that time. So this is the time that we've got left.
One thing that's kind of handy is, like, if you have services where you build in bonuses. So, for example, when I first moved to this town, I wanted to set myself apart from the other people in the beauty industry in the town. So I included scrub and lotion at the end of every appointment. And eventually I changed my prices, separated that out, so it was like an optional thing you could pay for, and kind of like weaned people off it. I don't really do it anymore at all. That's like a whole other story. But like, that was a thing where that was a solid 10 minutes of their appointment, but something where I could say, like, okay, I won't have time for the scrub at the end, but we can still get your nails done. The thing that it is equivalent to now is that I do like cuticle work with an e-file on every single client. So if someone is only slightly late, then I can do a manual cuticle push, and it's not as good as I would like it to be, but I can change that service slightly to gain just a smidge of extra time without them expecting to pay any different. And it just kind of helps to avoid some conflict.
Having some alternates.
Yeah, just little things you can downgrade without actually affecting the overall outcome of the appointment.
Especially if you account into like your treatment time, that you're going to need time to boil the jug and make a hot drink and things like that. If they're late to their appointment, you're simply just not going to have the time to worry about a coffee if they still want great nails.
I think like one of the things that keeps coming up in these podcast episodes regularly is consistency. And like, there's no real way to avoid client lateness other than to strictly enforce your time limits so that clients learn they can't muck around. Like, when I was in Auckland and super fully booked, that was my main priority in terms of work and even lifestyle and stuff. Then people knew, like, they would move other other appointments and things because they could not be late for me. Like, when someone turns up late and realizes they cannot get what they want, they also can't be mad about it because it's their own fault. They will generally put in more effort next time or self-eliminate and not come back. But like, that was the reason that I, even if I didn't have another client, I still enforced the time limit. Like, if it was affecting nobody, they were my last client of the day, I generally would have still enforced the time limit so that they would learn what my expectations were and that it's not okay to muck me around. Like, it did backfire one time when a client texted me saying, like, hey, I've been sitting at the top of the driveway for 45 minutes and haven't seen anyone come down. Can I come back in? And that was a bit awkward, but I normally would
but
just
say. But I
think
that's where it's like, it's not affecting nobody though, right? It's affecting me. Like, just because yes. I don't have that client afterwards, it's now my personal time.
Yeah, like, I would just generally, instead of, like, I'm not lying to them, I would word it, I can't stretch past 7 p.m. today, so we can only do this. They don't need to know that it's because I want to make dinner before my show starts on TV. Like, it's none of their business. Polite yeah, and right. reasonable with clear expectations. Like, that's all I owe anybody. Polite and reasonable, clear expectations. So I think, like, even though, yes, now I will absolutely admit to a little bit of laxness, it's like, Bailey, you just said, like, that is what fits with my current lifestyle, the number of clients that I take, and the amount that it would affect me. But also, if it was affecting me, I'll be strict. Like, and really, but that's the only way to control client lateness is to completely not tolerate it.
Yeah, I think, like, it's kind of interesting because one of my colleagues at my rock sitting job, she also doubles as a personal trainer. And so I was talking to her just the other day. She has this one client who he is perpetually late. Like, he is, and I mean never on time. So he books a 1 hour session with her and is consistently 15 minutes late. So he gets 45 minutes and he pays for an hour consistently. And I was talking to her about it and she's like, if he doesn't show up on time, like, that's on him. I'll just sit in, like, the stretching area. I'll just do some stretches of my own while I wait for him to arrive. And the difference between, like, her business and our business is the end result will still be different regardless. He's no longer getting a full hour of a personal training session. But if she has to cut it bang on 45 minutes instead of stretching it out to an hour, there's no, like, tangible product that he's not walking away with. Whereas, like, for us with nails, they're not walking away with a finished set if we're not able to get it done in that time frame.
Yeah. I think as well, like, enforcing it all super strictly, you do have to be slightly mentally prepared for some pushback and just be okay with that. Like, I had a client who was a regular, fortnightly regular for the first couple of years I lived here. And then, like, a couple of summers ago, it's like the peak of summer busyness because I'm in a beach town. So not only do you have the Christmas rush, but you have, like, 10 times more people in town than normal. And this client turned up at, like, 9:30, and I think her appointment was at 9. And she turned up, like, it was like she turned up an hour later. Like, it was not just she was late for her appointment. She had messed it up and got the time wrong. And right. She turned up and I was like, I can't fit that in now. And she, like, stood in the doorway and was really taken aback and was just like, but I need them done. Like, it's Christmas in a couple of days or whatever. Like, it was that time of year. And I was like, I can't though, because I'm fully booked today. She goes, what about at the end of the day? And I was like, well, I'm 3 hours into a 12-hour day. I can't do a 13th hour. They won't be good nails. And she, like, stormed off, like, didn't even say anything to me. And she'd been a regular for a long time. And then I text her between next clients and I was like, hey, really sorry. Like, I don't want there to be any animosity between us because it feels like there is. I just really can't commit to 13 hours of nails and the appointment is already gone. I'll let you know if someone cancels. It's a pretty solid day. And then she just never came back. And, like, I'd see her at, like, the rugby club and stuff and she would avoid me like the plague. It is so weird. Like, and she was like in her 60s maybe. And I guess just really super couldn't handle conflict. Just had no skills in that area. I don't know, but she's never come back.
I've worked in customer service. Someone being like, oh shit, that's my bad. I'm so sorry. I missed, like, I got the times wrong. Like, when can you next get me in? Is there any time between my next scheduled appointment to get me in? if not totally understand that's my cock up, like, it is what it is, just went, this is your fault, you're not squeezing me in 2 days before Christmas, yep. even though you're already working 12-hour days constantly.
I've had a customer-facing job since I was 16, like constantly pretty much, apart from when I had children. And I honestly feel like that when you work, whether it be the beauty industry or just in retail even, mm-hmm. Like people forget you're human, that you have a family, that like you have a life outside of what you're doing right now, you know?
Yeah, and you see your teacher at the supermarket and you're like, you exist outside of school? Like, what?
Right.
People yeah. forget that you're
it actually... It baffles me that people have that attitude.
Yeah, they forget you're a real person.
Yeah.
Not just a service provider. I think that's kind of
sometimes similar with Monaco, like slightly off topic because it's not quite the same, but like sometimes people forget that I'm actually a human being and not a big corporate. Like, this is a nationwide nail tech school with nearly 1,000 enrollments over the time. It is still run from all of our homes. Like, this is a network of skilled nail technicians running this business from a network of home salons. This is not a big corporate with some middle-aged white guy sitting behind a desk like counting his stacks of money, and then people really sometimes forget that.
Like, what do you mean? What?
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I guess no matter what your job is and no matter what effort you put in, there will always be people whose cat got run over that morning and you get the brunt of it.
Yeah. And I think like we can be understanding because sometimes I've been late and I feel like an awful person whenever I am late and I disrespect someone else's time or I forget about an appointment and I don't show up. And then I get a text like, hey, are you coming? And I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like red in the face. I'm like getting all hot. I'm flustered because I'm like, I feel so bad right now. I screwed up. I disrespected this person's time. And I take ownership of that when that happens. But some people get so flustered in that moment that all they can think about is the thing that made them forget or the thing that made them late. And sometimes those are things that can be like, yeah, like your cat got run over this morning and like you were just, and so you just take it out on this other person and they don't deserve it and they'll never deserve it. But sometimes we're just human and that's what we do, unfortunately. Yeah. And so just like also remembering that sometimes people aren't bad clients, sometimes they've just had a bad day, bad morning, whatever, and that even like how you followed up with that client with a text being like, hey, like I don't hope, you know, there's no animosity here, anything like that, just, you know, trying to bridge that after the fact when things have had a chance to cool down a little bit.
Yeah,
sometimes they might just vanish into thin air after that, but sometimes they might be like, I'm really sorry and I just had a morning and I'm really sorry that you copped that, you know?
I've had that more with Monaco people than clients, but I have had like a couple of times with Monaco students or customers that have ripped me a new one over email and stuff and been like, this is the worst course I've ever done, blah, 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 blah. And it'll be over something. It's never over something like where I'd be like, oh my God, I messed up. It's always like, there was one person that bought a full kit and then 9 months later said there was no acrylic brush in the kit and was like, I've only just gone through it now. There's no brush here. There's definitely no brush here. And I was like, okay, but you bought it 9 months ago. Like that, how do I know that? Like there's not this, the time, the reasonable amount of time for rectifying a situation is kind of gone. She ripped me, was just like, this is so awful. This is the worst. I'm never recommending this course ever, blah, 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 blah. All over a brush in a kit 9 months earlier. But then like 2 hours later was like, I am so sorry. This is what the situation was. I should never have taken it out on you. Like, please just, if you can point me in the direction of a brush that I can grab, like, blah, 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 blah. And as soon as she was like that, I was like, it's totally fine. Look, I can't really justify supplying another $120 brush, but I have this like cheaper student brush that I can send out to you, like blah, blah, blah. Like You catch more flies with honey. You just never know when someone's having a bad day.
And, like, taking accountability for you exhibiting, like, poor behavior and just being like, I'm really sorry. That is my bad. Shouldn't have happened. People go, oh, shit, this other human. I also am human and have done dumb things like that too. Like, let me try to help you because none of us are awful people. We just have bad moments sometimes. So just before we wrap up, I just want to take a minute to remind you guys about Salon Success, business, marketing, and social media, the full Salon Success setup. And it is a wrap up of all of the Salon Success modules into a pretty little bow. And if you use code Bailey, you can get 10% off the course along with all of our other courses. I do get a kickback from this, and it also helps us to continue doing the podcast. And Catherine, you also have an affiliate code?
Yep, mine's Catherine, spelled K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
So final thoughts, ladies. What is your advice to the newest of newbies on how to handle their first late client?
Don't take it personally. Don't freak out. It's often got nothing to do with you 90% of the time, I think. And, you know, life happens. Don't freak out. Get a policy in place and stick firm on that. Put your boundaries in place from the start so that people learn that you're not someone that can be walked all over.
Can I just say ditto?
You can.
No, but like set your policies and be firm on your policies and make sure you enforce them. Because if you set your policies but you don't enforce them, they don't mean the paper they're written on. So you need to make sure that as the business owner, you're not only setting those policies, but you're enforcing them as well.
And with that done and dusted, before you guys, the listeners, disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. We'll be back next week. What will we be back with, Bailey?
So next week on episode 8, we're going to be talking about affiliate and referral incentives and what is word of mouth marketing worth to you.
I reckon that's going to be so valuable.
Absolutely.
So you guys can be back next week to check that one out. But until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monica and Nell Academy or follow our salons. Mine is Hardlacker NZ. Catherine?
Mine's Praise Beauty NZ.
And Bailey?
Mine is Bailey Janet Nails.
And Jade had to pop off because she had a client arrive, but hers is Beauty by Jade. She's based in Dunedin. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.